Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
All of that good and wonderful stuff. There we go. I'm just trying to get my, make sure my technology is working this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for this time of year that we can just really focus in on the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what that means to us as we think about his birth, the miracles that happened with that, and then his life and ultimately leading to his death, burial, and resurrection, and what we have victory over death because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this time of year where we can celebrate a small part of his life. Father, just guide and direct in our Sunday school time this morning as we just visit and discuss these chapters in Nehemiah. Lord, I just pray that you will give us direction as we discuss these chapters. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a young couple just gotten married, and they were on their honeymoon, and the husband wasn't sure how to tell his new bride that he had a terrible foot problem, and his feet would just smell something terrible, and it would make his socks smell, and so their whole dating and engagement, he was able to always have shoes on, always make sure that he had his gold bond in the shoes and whatnot to hide his foot smell. But he realized on their honeymoon he was going to have to reveal that he had a very bad foot smell problem. And his bride was also in her mind going, I have this terrible problem and I have the worst breath ever. And so now she's realizing that, you know, she's been able to mask her bad breath for a while. But she now realizes that as they're married, she's only going to be able to mask this for so long. And so their first night out there, he sits down. He says, dear, I have a confession to make. And she's like, oh, really? She says, and she leans in and she says, I too have a confession to make. And the look on his face, he backs up and he goes, really? Did you just eat my socks? I'm sorry. Anyway. Just to start off on a good note this morning. Anyway, chapter 11 in Nehemiah. That joke stunk. Thanks, Roger. We come to chapter 11 in Nehemiah this morning, and we have another list of names. And yes, I am not going to read all of these names to you this morning. But there are a couple of verses in chapter 11 that we're going to just pull some neat information out of, and then we're hopefully going to get through chapter 12 this morning as well. But it's interesting that we have, this is our fifth list of names in Nehemiah. Where was our first list of names? Can you think back that far? No. Somewhere? Genesis, we did have a, we did, let's just focus on, Bob? Let's focus on Nehemiah. So go back further. Yes, we had a list in 10. Yes, we had a list in 7 back further. Chapter 3. Derek wasn't committed, but he did say it. Chapter 3, we have a list of names. It's the builders, right? We spent a Sunday looking through all of the different people that were involved in building the wall, where they came from, and the different trades that they would have been involved in if they weren't building the wall at that time. Chapter 7, we have a list of names, and that's our census, the list of people that had come back out of captivity with Zerubbabel. And so they did a census of the nation of Israel, and we go through that census in chapter 7. Chapter 8, we had another list of names. And it was the people that were involved in the beginning of our spiritual revival. We had been looking up to chapter 7. We had been seeing the physical building of the city. Chapter 8, we move into the spiritual rebuilding of the nation of Israel. And we have a list of people that were involved in that first, I think Warren Wiersbe called it a Bible conference. where everybody gathered together, and Ezra started reading from God's Word, and there's a list of people that were involved in that. Chapter 10, last week, we seen those that signed their oath. And even though there was, I believe, 58 different people, names represented on the oath, we know that it was the leadership that were signing it, but they were signing it on behalf of the whole nation. Everybody had gathered together, and so they were signing that that oath, but they were signing it on behalf of the whole nation. And that brings us to chapter 11, where we have another list of names. And this is a list, and it was interesting as you go through this. It's the people that were, they cast lots. And, well, let me just read the first two verses. And it says, "Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, where, while 9/10 remained in the other cities. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem." So we have a whole group of people now that are moving to Jerusalem. What's significant about the number that we just looked at, the amount of people that moved there? How many did?
One-tenth.
We kind of looked at it last week. What is significant about one-tenth? That's the tithe, right? So not that Nehemiah is tithing people, but he's bringing a tenth of the people to the city of Jerusalem to live there. And it's not till this chapter where we realize that most of the people that were coming to build this wall weren't necessarily people that lived there. And so Nehemiah is bringing a tenth of the people to come. And it says there in verse 1 that they cast lots. And then it says in verse 2 that they volunteered. In the fire department, when you're... We call that voluntold. As they brought those people in, those that came to live in Jerusalem to fill a whole vast group of things that needed to be done. But we're going to focus this morning on what needed to be done in the temple. People are only as strong as their city, and cities are only as strong as the people that live within the walls. So they've built all these walls up, and they're beginning now to build the people up, and now they're focusing also building the nation up. We see here, and we've been seeing this in starting in chapter 8, that Nehemiah's vision was much, much greater than just a wall around Jerusalem. That's where it started. That's where he went in and started building this project and building the wall around there. But I believe his heart and his vision wasn't just to see a wall around the city. Because if that's all he's seen and that's all he wanted, he would have left after it was done. But Nehemiah's heart and his vision was to see the nation of Israel rebuilt. Not just a wall around the city, but he knew that he needed to start somewhere. Ezra had come in and they had rebuilt the temple. But other than that, there was very little growth. Nothing was really going on. And so now they're rebuilding these walls. And that gets people motivated and excited. And because we see then that Nehemiah, even though he's seeing the big picture of the growth of the whole nation, he gets the people excited with a building project, and we see that that excitement carries over into their desire to also see the nation grow. When they held that Bible conference and they pulled everybody into the square by the Watergate, and they had that first reading. Ezra was on the platform, and they had that meeting where he just was reading God's word. We see in chapter 8 there that it was the people that had desired this, and they were the ones that were calling for this time of spending time in God's word. So Nehemiah's vision is much larger than just a wall around a city. But he needs people to live there. He needs Jerusalem to be great again, because when their city is great and the work that goes on with the temple, starting with the God's house, when it's great and the city's great, that filters down and the nation would become, hopefully, and we'll see this in the future yet, Israel will become great again, God's people. But Nehemiah is rebuilding a whole people. So there's a couple of verses here in chapter 11 that The first one is going all the way down to verse 12. And so people are coming into the city for all sorts of reasons. They're going to be living in buildings that are already built. They're going to be doing jobs and whatnot for their crafts and their trades. All sorts of things are going to be going on inside Jerusalem as a city there. But in verse 12, we see that people are there to work in the temple. And it says, "And their kinsmen who performed the work of the temple, 822. That's a large number of people to perform the work of the temple. And then down in verse 16, it says there that there's a few names, the leaders of the Levites who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God. And it goes down, and at the end of it, and all the Levites in the holy city were 284. So just the Levites in the city of Jerusalem were 284. Levites were part. It was out of the Levites, specifically the line of Aaron, that became the high priest. But the Levites were those spiritual leaders that took care of people. They were the ones that did a lot of the temple work and were involved in making sure the operation of the temple and whatnot went on. It took hundreds of people to make sure the workings of God's house went the way it was supposed to go. And so this morning, as I was reading that and thinking about it, I got writing a list here and considering, what does it take for River Valley Bible Church to be a local church in Mesquite? Start throwing things out.
People, money.
But let's be more specific than that. Like, specifics. What does it take for us to function as a local church in Mesquite? A place to meet. What does it take to keep that place to meet? We have to have a pastor. What does it take to keep a pastor here? A salary. We have to pay rent, lights and utilities. We do not pay taxes. We are a nonprofit organization, so we don't have to work. We pay property taxes until we're on the property using it. But anyway, so we do pay taxes. I'm sorry. So what else goes on? Who else do we need to make River Valley? The body. Let's get more specific.
We need somebody to clean the building.
We need a cleaner, so somebody that makes sure the church looks good. Derek? She stole yours. So what else do we need?
Music,
people that lead us in music every morning. Teachers, Sunday school teachers. Do you know how many different times or different teachings that are going on in the middle of the week or during Sunday?
We're
at least six. We have a Sunday school, a kids club, an adult adult Sunday school, adult Wednesday night, junior church,
nursery.
Pastor Craig, nursery. So that puts me at seven or eight. Different teachers that we need at different times.
Cooks for potlucks.
I didn't have that. That's... I did not have that one on my list. Thank you, Jim.
The bulletins
get made and folded every Sunday.
Readers.
Scripture readers.
Men's breakfast.
So let me just rattle some things off here. So,
pastor's wife.
No, but these are all important things. So we have those people that give money. Utilities, salary, missions, benevolence. We need materials for the church, office supplies, church supplies. We need teaching supplies for Sunday school and whatnot. We have money that needs to go into little fix-its and different things to buy equipment and stuff. So we have people that give money. We have people that give time. We have cleaners, teachers, Sunday school, junior church, kids club, men's breakfast, men's retreat, ladies' retreat, sermons, Wednesday night. All of these things are going on all the time. We have ushers. We have people that come to church. We have people that invite friends to church. There's visitation, elders, deacons, and the meetings that they go to. There's money counters, money gatherers, greeters, setting up communion, music, bulletins, announcements, scripture reading. We have people that organize people to get those things done. The sound booth people that are involved in that. And I'm sure we could go on and on with that list as well.
You forgot one.
I forgot a lot.
People that volunteer to bring cookies.
People that volunteer to bring cookies. We have our food that we get during the service. We have people that pray. We have Wednesday night prayer meetings, Sunday morning prayer time. We have the prayer chain, the prayer quilts.
Yeah.
And people that pray every day for River Valley on a regular basis. So you can see that our list of people that we have to make church or River Valley function as a local church on a week-to-week basis, we need people. So it doesn't surprise you when then you look at the size of the temple and the things that went on at the temple that they needed 1,000 people there to function on a regular basis. We need people. People are the local church. People are the universal church. Believers are the universal church. We need people. And we need more than just 10% of the people to do 90% of the job. I think that's the statistic. They say 10% of the people do 90% of the work. But I see that with as we rattle off these things that are going on here, we have a lot of people that volunteer and do a lot of work around the church. And just seeing Joan back there, there's ladies' Bible study. There's another one that I didn't think of as I was going through my list of things. And there's so many things. And I know that I miss some of them as I go through this thing that makes River Valley Bible Church function as a local church in Mesquite. And it's neat to see how God uses. And we could get into a whole list of or a whole message now on spiritual gifts as we look at all the people that have their different ministries and different giftings to be a part of the church and using their gifts in the ways that they do. If we are going to be a strong light or a bright light in this community, we need people to do the work. And so that's the neat thing as you go through chapter 11 and look at this list. This is a list of people that volunteered to come to the city of Jerusalem to be a part of making not just Jerusalem and not just the temple, but to begin building and making the nation of Israel great again. And it's a small group of people. I wish I would have written down the quote. It was one of the presidents that talked about, you know, just having our cities and having, you know, strong cities and great cities. And when we look at our nation, it so much revolves around cities. And when cities are strong and cities are great, the nation is a part of that. But it takes a whole group of people. And so that's really the gist of chapter 11. And as you go through chapter 11, it's a list of people that were willing to go to the city of Jerusalem to make it great again as they began to rebuild the city. And intertwined in all of this, we see that there's the physical building, there's the physical side of everything that we're seeing as the nation of Israel is being restored. But there's also the spiritual that we've been dealing with as well, and it takes both. It takes spiritually strong people to have physically strong nations. Our prayer is that we could be spiritually strong here as well, so that our country could be physically strong as well. Any questions on chapter 11? That was just a quick summary, as fast as we possibly could, to go through that chapter and look at and what it is. There's so much there that we could dig through and get out of just the little verses talking about the different people that went there and the different jobs that they were doing. But I wanted to just kind of focus more on the people that were involved in the temple. The next thing we see as we get into chapter 12, and again, we're going to jump right to verse 27, because the rest of the beginning of chapter 12 is still just a list of names, the Levites and whatnot that were also in the city. But we get to verse 27, and we begin to see the dedication of the wall. And this is really neat. As you go through this, we see that, I'll read just down to verse 30. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving and with song, to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, from the Beth Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. It's neat to see how this goes, because next he goes down in verse 31 and starts talking about the leaders and how he separated. And Nehemiah takes one group of people, and Ezra takes another group of people, and they start on the wall, and they physically are standing on top of the wall. And they begin to march around the city on top of the walls. And so it gives us an idea of how big these walls are, that they can have a large number of people. We're probably talking in the thousands of people standing on top of this wall, and they begin to march around. And they start at a far point from the temple, and they march around the city until they come to the point where the temple is, and they come down the stairs off the wall and then meet in the temple courtyard. And as they're doing this, they're singing and they're worshiping and they're praising God with their musical instruments and their voices, so much so that what does it say in verse 43? And on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. And so I don't know how far afar is, but it was beyond the walls of the city of Jerusalem. People were hearing their great joy. But they dedicated it. They had a time of worship. They had a time of singing. This was a time of celebration. And again, we don't know exactly how long. It does say that some time has passed before they have this dedication service. But they are worshiping and thanking God and praising Him for the great thing that he did. How long did it take to build the walls?
52 days.
Remember how long it took to fix that broken wall that's behind the bank over at the Oasis area there?
7 years.
It was a lot of time to fix. Once they started building, it took more than 52 days to fix that wall. But the nation of Israel built a wall several miles long, and the vastness of this wall, they built it in 52 days. And they sang and they praised God because they realized through this that it was absolutely 100% God who accomplished this work for them and through them. And they dedicated that, and they were appropriate in their celebration. But Warren Wiersbe offers up kind of an idea that really isn't, you don't really see it in Scripture, but I think it's an appropriate idea. And so let's look at two verses here. If someone would read Genesis 13:17, Ron, and someone else read Joshua 1, verse 3. We'll look at these two verses, but Warren Wiersbe kind of offers up the idea that this really isn't just a celebration of a work completed, but this is a celebration of a work that really is just beginning. And that, yes, these walls are done, the walls are built, but we're really celebrating that God is going to rebuild and do great things through the nation of Israel again. And so as think about it, as these guys are stepping and walking around the nation of, or around the city of Jerusalem, it's kind of an image of a couple of other things that God told Abraham and Joshua. So Genesis chapter 13, verse 17. Ron?
Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.
So God told Abraham to get up and walk. Walk that whole area because he was going to give it to him. And so there's that idea that he had to walk through the whole thing. And this choir is walking around. And so Abraham's walk was just the beginning of a great nation. And he didn't have the crowd, he didn't have the cymbals and music, but he began to walk, and it was the beginning of something, as we know the nation of Israel grew. And the Marilyn, if you would ring a ring, I don't know where that came from, but if you would read Joshua 1 verse 3. So he gives Joshua a promise that everywhere he set his foot, he was going to give it to, God was going to give it to the nation of Israel, as the promise had been already offered through Moses as well. And so again, it's that picture of stepping and walking and moving. And so here we have again this ceremony that involves a dedication, and they walk, and they're walking around the city of Jerusalem, and they're there. And it's not an end to a project. It's the beginning of a nation. It's the beginning of a rebuilt nation. And as they would begin to move forward, this is a milestone in the nation of Israel, not a millstone. And so often we, I think, can take on projects. And Warren Wiersbe is one of the commentaries that I've been using as I've been going through this. And he remembered a time where they had a dedication service, and they had just built a big gymnasium building, multi-purpose building on the side of their church, and they had a dedication service for it, and they had the dedication service in the sanctuary. And he said it just felt wrong. He said we couldn't see the auditorium, we couldn't feel the auditorium, we were celebrating what God had done, but we weren't even there. He said it just kind of felt empty. Here they were. They walked this whole wall. They were there. They were touching it. They were seeing it. They were watching. They were physically enjoying what God had done for them, but then they were looking forward as well to what God was going to do for them. We are coming up to a milestone at River Valley. As John and I were looking at Nehemiah, one of the reasons why we wanted to go through Nehemiah was because we're looking at a building project. And we thought, you know, this would be great. Nehemiah had a building project. He built the wall. It will fit really good together with what's going on. And we found quickly that this has so much more to do with vision and leadership than it does with just a simple building project. But the timing of it was, very good. But we are going to have a dedication service. Well, we had one a long time ago. We had a time, maybe not really a dedication service, but we had a time where we all went to the property and we prayed. And we sought the Lord, and we said, Lord, this is your property. We've purchased this for River Valley Bible Church, but this is your property, and we are going to use it for your glory. Now, how weird would that have been if we would have held that service here at the church? Not that it would have been wrong, but there's something sentimental about doing it right there on the property and standing there and physically being there. How weird will it be when we have a brand new building down there and we have a dedication service here? It wouldn't seem right, would it? So they're celebrating and they're physically touching and being a part of the project as they do this dedication. Pastor Craig was sharing with me this morning some neat things that it's possible that we'll be able to do in the deacon meeting last week that I forgot about. I can take no credit for these ideas at all. It was Mark that really brought them up. But as we have a time where we're going to start transitioning from this building that we have been in for a long time to a new building that we're going to, Mark made a suggestion that why don't we have a service or a time of sharing where we can remember what God has done in our lives here in this building. And as soon as Craig said that, my mind just started racing, and I started thinking of all the cool things that have happened in this building that God has done for us. I remember when the church office was in that corner back there, and the most memorable moment, I think, for me was when I got deported, stuck in Canada for a little while, and the church was praying fervently that, I would get out of Canada and be able to come back down. And the report was basically that it was going to maybe be at best 6 months. Homeland Security basically told me it'd be 3 years. We were praying for 6 months. We thought we'd pray for something that was like 2 weeks. But it happened. It was just amazing how fast everything happened. And so we had a surprise. Instead of me phoning and saying, "Hey, I'm going to be there," Andy was leading the service, and Pastor Ron was here. I remember stopping by Derek's house as we were coming down. As I driving by, I like phone him up, "Hey, I'm passing through town." They're like, "You're what?" So I stopped in and visited with them for a little while. And then I got here, and I was hiding under the desk in the church office back there. And I had to get here really early before everybody else. And so I hid underneath the desk for, felt like an hour, as the church was gathering together. And Andy got up in front of the church and said, I just want to, Ron didn't even know that I was back. Ron's the director of Tentmakers Bible Mission, who we were under, and so he was here trying to help out. Anyway, he didn't even know, and Andy's like, just want you to know how awesome God is and how powerful prayer is. And he says, we have the greatest thing that has happened yet. And at that moment, I walked out, and Ron was pretty sure that I was breaking the law, that I had snuck back across the border. But God worked it out. And so just as Pastor Craig was sharing that with me, that's the first thing I thought of, is there's a physical spot in the church that it just, I remember the great things that God has done for me and for us. And so we're looking at having a dedication service, or kind of a transition service of sorts, where we can start here at River Valley and share memories of what has happened, what God has done for us at River Valley Bible Church, and then physically move ourselves, whether we walk or we caravan or whatnot, down to the property, and then have a time of prayer before we start launching the building. And it is getting close. It is exciting. Can I tell them? Does everybody know?
No. I was going to share this morning, but feel free.
I didn't want to steal your moment, but the building is ready to be delivered. And so they have it, actually, they scheduled it for December 28th that they will move, but before you get too excited,
the bad news
is, we would have to store it. We won't be ready to put the building up. We won't have the pad ready until March-ish. So we'll move the building onto the property in end of January. So the building is ready. We are ready to pay for the last of the building. It is ready to be sent. And it's exciting that we are getting closer and closer to having it ready. We're still working on a few details to get all of our contractors and what ready.
Why will the pad not be ready tomorrow?
We don't have all of the details and the permits and all of that stuff in place. We're still working through all of those things. We still have some subcontractors that need to finish submitting their bids to the contractor so we can get our budget all put together. And there's still a few things ready, but the contractor believes by the 1st of March that we should be ready to have our pad poured and start putting the building up. And so we are getting closer and closer, and it will be neat. It'll be great, but it'll be such a neat service to spend time here, remembering what God has done for us here, and then transitioning, because this isn't a completed project. Us moving to the new building down there is just the beginning of River Valley Bible Church in Mesquite. We still have so much that we as a church can do and should be doing and need to do in our community. And this building standing there is not an end to what we're looking forward to. It is just the beginning. And it was that with the nation of Israel. It wasn't an end. Those walls weren't just an end to a building project. It was the beginning of a rebuilt nation of Israel. And it's just neat to see, you know, how God used that time and there to begin the rebuild of the nation of Israel, and how it kind of correlates with where we are and what we're looking forward to. And I pray, and I believe it's all of our prayer, that this building doesn't just become the end, but it is just the beginning of what God is going to continue to do with River Valley Bible Church in Mesquite and the ministries that, you know, we are offering now, but can be bigger and better, but then more ministries and things that we haven't been able to do here because of space and our limitedness here, that we'll be able to launch and do some more things and outreaches into our community and whatnot. So this is just a beginning, and we're excited for that. And so we look forward to our dedication time of our transition. And then ultimately, I have a whole picture of that Sunday when we have our first Sunday service there. Anyway, it's just exciting. I'm excited for that day. The last thing we have in chapter 12, and we actually are doing really good on time. I think that's the first time we've said that in the book of Nehemiah, that we are doing good with time. The last thing we have is down in verse 44 through 47, the end of the chapter. It says, on that day, men were also appointed over chambers for stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who served, for they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification, together with singers and the gatekeepers, in accordance with the command of David and of his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. So all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah gave the portion due the singers and the gatekeepers, as each day required, and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites, and the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. The last thing that we see here, well, let me ask you, what is significant, what are we seeing happen here that we talked about last week? We're seeing last week put into action. Last week we talked about the oath. I just didn't want Bob correcting me. It wasn't last week that they took the oath. Last week we looked at chapter 10 and we seen the oath that they took, right? And they signed their names to an oath saying, what we are going to do is we're going to, really the majority of it was, we are going to take care of the people that serve the Lord in the temple. And there's so many jobs and things that need to be done there. And we talked about how the Levites were spread out throughout the cities in all of Israel. And the farmers would take their fruits and their tithes and they would take them to the Levites to feed the spiritual leaders or take care of the spiritual leaders. And then they would take a portion of what they had and they would take it to the sons of Aaron. So everybody was kind of taking care of their spiritual leadership. And we see that here put into action. And so they were rejoicing. On that day, they appointed men over the chambers for the stores. The storage, or the stores meaning the storage in the temple, and the chambers, and the first fruits of the tithes, And so we see here that there is food and resources being placed in the temple, that there are now needs for people to take care of those and to divvy them out and make sure everybody is getting what they need. The singers, the gatekeepers, those that are in charge, that they can't go out and have a field or raise an orchard and take the fruit of that because they are in charge of standing at the gate or the walls, the soldiers, the temple servants, and all of those people doing things that can't go and have a field to harvest because they're in charge of something else. And here we see put into action that oath that they took. And so we know that they are doing what they had promised the Lord that they would end up doing. And so what's neat about this is just as we studied that last week, we see now that it actually, they are doing what God has commanded them to do. The unfortunate part is, and we're not going to get to it for a couple of weeks here, we're going to look at chapter 13 and we're going to see that it didn't really take that long before they stopped doing it. And that's the unfortunate part. That's the Nehemiah kind of ends on a sad note. It's so exciting. All the way through the book, we see the walls being built. We see the people being rebuilt and the nation growing and getting strong again and the people spiritually excited to serve the Lord. And then we end in Nehemiah and we're going to see that it really didn't take very long before they stopped doing that. It'll be a couple of weeks. Jim's going to start next week on his series, but somewhere into January, John and I will work it out, and we'll make sure we come back and finish chapter 13 of Nehemiah. But it's been an exciting trip through Nehemiah, watching the physical growth and now the spiritual growth. And it ends, at least at chapter 12 here, with us seeing in action them doing what they had promised that they would do. Any thoughts? We have 5 minutes. Any thoughts as we are quickly wrapping up the book of Nehemiah? And any specific thoughts to this week, but even going back in other chapters as we've gone through this book? Anything that, Jim? Before the walls were built, or now as they're dedicating them?
Before the walls were built, the king and all those people moved over all the property. Now, once this is happening,
it's an exciting time for them. Yeah, and they're still under the king, and we see that there is a person that is in charge. Nehemiah became like a governor over the nation of Israel, those people, but they still had to give a portion and a tax to the king. So they're not out from underneath his rule, but they're becoming a nation again.
And to follow up on Jim's comment specifically, it would be kind of nice to hear Tobias and Sanballat's reaction to all this.
Find out, you know, because they resisted so strongly at the beginning. And
they're not going to rebuild the wall. It would be nice to, you know, see how they were feeling.
It would be kind of... it would make us feel good to know that they felt bad.
Or maybe they changed.
Well, we're going to see. We're not done with all of them quite yet. We'll see in chapter 13. You can read ahead if you want. I would encourage it. We're still going to see that we're not quite not totally done with those characters, but there's a little bit more in chapter 13. Any other thoughts or comments? Well, let me close us in prayer then, and we'll have two. We're done 2 minutes early. I don't think that's been done yet in Nehemiah. Father, we thank you for just the exciting time that the nation of Israel went through during this rebuild. And it's neat to see that Nehemiah's vision was so much bigger than just a wall around a city, but his desire and his heart to see a nation rebuilt. And so we thank you for... Just a walk through history with Nehemiah and the spiritual growth that was happening in the nation of Israel. And I just pray that we would, as we ponder these thoughts, that we'd realize that we all have times that are constantly that we need to be spiritually growing. And how exciting it was for the nation of Israel, it can be exciting for us as well. And we are going through a very exciting time with River Valley and the growth and things that are happening here. And I pray that as we move forward, you would continue to bless. But I pray also, Father, that we wouldn't see this building as an end, but just the very beginning of great things that River Valley can be doing in Mesquite. And that we'd all have a heart to continue to invite friends and neighbors to church and share the gospel with them. And that this building, it's just a building. That it would be a place where, yes, we can gather together and worship, but it's the people in the building that make up your church. And so I pray that you would be working in our hearts, that we would be desiring spiritual growth constantly, and that we would be then reaching out into our community to the unsaved that are around us as well. Just guide and direct in our time this morning as we continue to just worship you through the study of your word, and music this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go and see if anybody brought those